Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Got to say, it was a mixed weekend as far as the racing industry was concerned. We had some outstanding performances at Rosehill Gardens and also at Caulfield in Melbourne. Then we had the tragic passing of two jockeys. Firstly, Friday at Cranbourne track work with Michaela Claridge unfortunately passing away in an accident. Then at Fenny Bay, a bad fall. In fact, Melanie Tyndall, aged 32 years of age, clipping heels. She was actually conscious at the track and then she was transported to hospital. Unfortunately, she passed away at Royal Darwin Hospital. So the stark reality of the dangers that our jockeys go through in the racing industry, there for all to see, unfortunately. Then we had some terrific performances on the track at both Rosehill Gardens and also Caulfield. But a sad, sad weekend as far as the racing industry was concerned. Good morning to you, Ronnie Duffersey.
Yeah, good morning, TK. It has been a sad weekend. You know, that 48 hours to think we lost two young jockeys and two beautiful young ladies as at that. So our thoughts are obviously with their family and friends, and hopefully we can help them through it.
Absolutely. And as we often say, we can often doubt their judgment, but we can never doubt their courage. So it's quite unthinkable, really, that we could lose two young people in the one weekend. Good morning to you, Glenn Munsey.
Yes, good morning, TK. Good morning to Ronnie, and good morning when Gator comes on. Yeah, a tragic weekend, really. And just goes to show you, TK, of course, Michaela lost her life basically at a track work situation. Yep. Out the back of the Cranbourne training establishment there on what they classify as the trails. It's not even a normal training setup, but yeah. Like at Warwick Farm, they've got trails. Well, they had trails at Warwick Farm there that the horses take them away from the racetrack situation.
Yep.
Give them a little bit of a breather and a freshen up in a different environment. And then, of course, you had Melanie on a Saturday falling actually in a race. We were actually communicating with Darwin on Saturday, and the last report we got, and Ronnie will back me up here, they said, you know, it's in and out of consciousness, but everything looks all right,
yeah,
didn't they, Ron?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it's just amazing. You get a positive report, and then you get home, and she's no longer with us. So
yeah, not the extent of the internal injuries clearly weren't evident to those people at the track. That's what we mentioned, sort of in and out of consciousness at the track, then transported to Royal Darwin Hospital before passing away. So it was terrible. And I know down south in Caulfield, where they had a terrific meeting as far as the Memsie was concerned, but there would have been a sadness hanging over the track at Caulfield as well. And David Gately joins us. G'day, Gator.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Yeah, that's well summed up, isn't it? I mean, there was certainly that, that black cloud, if you like, over Caulfield. And look, the jockeys, to their credit, spoke brilliantly after the races and so respectful. These people just doing, you know, what they love. And if there's some solace in that, then, you know, they're doing the things that they love right up until the end. So there's been some articles here in Melbourne recently just in relation to what can be done to improve safety. You know, it's no good us all just moping around. I think you have to use these sort of things to improve areas that need improvement. And whether it's a financial thing or for whatever reason, that has to be secondary behind, the player welfare, the welfare of the participants.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I reckon we're all for that, Gator, as well. But I'm just wondering what... What are some of the initiatives that can improve the safety for the jockeys?
Yeah, well, there was an article from Matt Stewart who certainly raised some really salient points, I think, in that regard. So I think that's worth dissecting. Look, Matt's a well-respected and a journalist with a lot of knowledge and been in racing a long time. So I think it's certainly something, as I say, we can dissect. And, if there can be improvements made... You know, let's put the monetary side of it second behind, where some of the money's going. Let's use that as safety, and that's got to be paramount.
Absolutely. I think we all concur with that. If you've got some of those safety ideas, 13 53 53, we can take your feedback. Also, text messages 0419 767-272 to things that happen on the track. Ronnie, Rosehill Gardens, a treble for Team Hawks. It's their time of year in so many ways. We saw Grey Worm, God of Thunder, and then Exceedance, the standout performance.
Yeah, he was a very impressive Exceedance. And like we were talking earlier, it's hard to judge a horse on one wet track run first up, but he'd set up his form last prep with some real eye-catching performance in lesser class. So he's a three-year-old, but the thing with him is his appearance, you know, his attitude, his quality, his class. He's a laid-back customer who's, like I said, a good sort and the right attitude. He missed the start a bit. He bustled him, and sometimes you bustle these young three-year-olds and they want to over-race, but he come back underneath him. Bivouac sprinted, and he sort of hit a flat spot, and you thought, oh, can he come out of this pain barrier? And then he switched legs, and bang, he went crunch. Exciting horse.
Yeah. Do you think, Ronnie, he sort of semi-snuck under our guard on Saturday Exceedance because of the fact it was wet, he had the question marks about him there, and the fact that Bivouac had the run and had the wet track exposure?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt the market reacted to Bivouac's first up win, and he was the better wet tracker on paper without knowing Exceedance's wet track ability. But when it got to 5 minutes before the race, and you know it's $5 and $1.30, and after seeing him in the yard, I think some people were saying, well, we can't let this go around $5. He just stood over the other horse. He monstered him. He in every angle, and he proved that on the track.
Yeah, what did you make of it, Gator? Because Ronnie, you were saying earlier, times don't lie, and those times for Bivouac were, well, had to be seen to be believed. The sectionals were sensational, so I think you've got to say disappointing, don't you?
I'd say inconclusive.
Yeah,
he travelled up like he was going to win comfortably, didn't he? And then I'm not totally sure he was overly happy in that ground.
Sure,
we've seen younger horses cope with it, and as they get older, there's less. Less love for the ground. Look, never missed a winner post-race, still betting 100%. But pre-race, you couldn't not tip Bivouac on what you saw first up and then on what his times were able to show. What I did note from Exceedance on Saturday was similar to what we saw in the first prep, that you just cannot run that sort of time if you're no good. It's as simple as that, whether you're any sort of athlete. The asterisks, I guess, on the quick time home, 33.8, 11.20, clearly the fastest of the day. Was the recipe for a horse to run quick section was A, you've got to be good, and B, you want to get a slowly run race, and they certainly got that. I mean, the first 500, they went 32.1, or 6.5 lengths below Group 3 average. So they're entitled to sprint home, but he just keeps putting these numbers up that are reserved for the absolute elite.
Okay.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It was set up to run the time, and that's why we say let's have a look at him next time. But you can't bag the performance.
Until we see both of them, Glenn, I guess, on a good four, hopefully against each other again, then we can sort of make our minds up.
Well, we'll get back to what we spoke about and have spoken about before. You look at the reaction to the Golden Rose market. They flipped positions in the Golden Rose market. Exceedance went from $11 to $4.50. Bivouac went from $4.50 to $11. And yes, who stayed at home, stayed the same price. So how does he now become a shorter price than Bivouac for Bivouac running getting beat? And he wasn't there to prove what he should have done. And the market with yes in the race before scratchings had him basically the same price as Exceedance.
Are we getting... Well, we can get carried away here in Sydney with our horses. So, is there anything in the state that we should be worried about? You got this Dallashan, the horse of McDonald's in Adelaide. You got this Super Seth, who I thought was pretty good on Saturday. Are they potential top liners?
Look, I'm certainly convinced Dallashan's a proper horse. He was able to. Sure, he had a cold sit on Scars of Justice, but he's a proper Group One horse. He was able to sail by him in really fast time. So, again, referencing the clock, I don't think there's any doubt that the Dallashan has the seat at the table. You know, that if you're shaping a top five or six three-year-olds, then he certainly has a seat there. I think there's room that needs to be made for horses like Super Seth, who was only first up, of course, on Saturday and did a good job. But, those sort of, it looks like second tier form now to me, that mm-hmm. dubious, okay. You know, those sort of, they look second tier from what I've seen from a Bivouac, a Libertini, and now Exceedance. This might be an absolute, a super elite sort of crop. If we can hold them together.
Let's hope so, because we need these three-year-olds to come out and steal the show, and we need a superstar for the racing industry. Glenn, if you think about the Caulfield Guineas, this is where many of these horses we've been discussing should be clashing, the likes of Exceedance, Super Seth, Castle Vecchio, Dallas Ann, Dawn Passage, Prince Farwaz, who we saw trial, Reloaded.
Well, that's stretching out to 1,600 metres. In interesting comments from Michael Hawks yesterday, he and Saturday, he said Exceedance, well, you know, they're thinking Coolmore at the moment, a 1,200 metre race. You know, can he stretch out to 1,400, 1,600? Oh. You know, the Golden Rose is a 1,400 metre race. At this stage, he said, we'll get to know a lot more about Exceedance when he has his next run, whether he's looking for to potentially go on to the 1,400 and then maybe even 1,600. But at this stage, you know, he's only been proven in shorter course races where some of those others, like Castle Vecchio and the like, they've already proven themselves over a mile.
Yeah, well, Exceedance next run, I think, is the Run to the Roses stuff.
Yes, that's where a few of the better ones will meet. Obviously, we'll probably have Yes, Yes, Yes there. We'll have Dawn Passage there, maybe Castle Vecchio, and who knows? After today, well, you know, your Kubricks and Sessions and a couple of Chris's other 3 year olds there. So it's going to be, well, obviously Reloaded. They got a big rap on him, and those horses are trialing today. So we've got a bunch. We've got a real pack there that look like they'll run 1,400 a mile, especially those horses out of Queensland that have already hit the mile of the JJ.
I'd like to ask you and also our listeners on 1353 53 text messages, if you want to have a query, 0419 767 272, who was the most impressive winner at Rosehill Gardens? Was it Exceedance, or was it a horse called Quick Thinker, who looks to be an absolutely one out of the box on what we saw on the weekend? I don't think they expected to see this sort of performance, Ronnie.
No, they didn't. I know they think he's a horse with a lot of talent, and Murray knows the horse with a lot of talent. And to think he isolated this horse like he did it with Lime Tamer. He won that race, same race in New Zealand, the Champagne or whatever it was, and then come to the Ming Dynasty, and he ended up winning a derby with him. And he Quick Thinker's crossed to two of those off, and then obviously the Lime Tamer went to the Champion Stakes after that as well. So Quick Thinker's on his way, and looking at him in the yard, the cheese and chalk, the performances. Exceedance stood out in the day, but I mean, Quick Thinker wasn't ready. Still got lots more to offer, condition and cleaning up in the coat and all those things. Right. He trialled terrible on a wet track coming over, put everyone off, but the performance was good. Wide, no cover the whole way. Owned the race late. Looks a stayer and looks progressive.
Yeah. What did you make of that, Glenn?
It was just one of those races, TK, whether there was a number of horses that were probably question marks going to 1,400, and he was first up coming off a mile race in New Zealand, and he was just in the wash-up, he was just too strong for them, you know, and the majority of the form behind it was sort of midweek or provincial form. Well, Aspect Ratio had got beaten a maiden at Goulburn, its previous run.
Yeah, but I think it blew on the day, didn't it? Like 750s out to 12s or something like that?
Yeah, there wasn't a... I shouldn't say there wasn't money for it. We actually lost on it. But I don't know whether it was the Huey Bowman factor or whatever like that, but whether they just decided, you know, Kiwi, Huey Bowman, Murray Baker...
Wet track.
you know, there wasn't a dollar for the stable mate, Rhaegar.
Academy was well backed in that race, I think.
Yeah, well, it was a completely different race. You had Matty Rocks come out first thing in the morning, and then you had the scratching probably an hour before the race of Alligator Blood. And with the fact that not many horses had sort of charged down the outside to win there on Saturday, they were looking at probably horses on pace closer to the inside. Academy had Barrier 1 and was going to go forward, but he just went far too hard.
Yeah, no doubt about that. The Memsies, the washout out of the Memsies, and for David Gately, obviously Scales of Justice, trained by Lindsay Smith. He'd won a railway, what, 2 years ago, Gator?
He probably should have won two of them, you could argue that. He found a race, a Group 1 race, run at a proper speed, which hasn't sort of been happening down here of late, but they went sub-47 seconds off a standing start, their first 800. These leaders, Be Good to Your Mother and Dispatch, look to be going quick to the eye, and absolutely they were, which what it does, it sets up for, you know, the better athletes. And Scales of Justice had the right run of Lise. They stormed home 11.33. And, of course, old mate Sosie Bond, he's come back in great order. And Hartnell close up. So the cream sort of rose to the top. And I think just having the run that he had and being able to join in at the right time was the difference, winning and losing. You know, when you get a proper test of endurance, as I say, the cream rises to the top, doesn't it?
I'll go through them with you, mate. Elise?
No, very good. Yeah. Got a long way back. She just didn't have that card into the race. She got on the back of one, and I think it was Blackheart Bard. It just couldn't take her into the race, so he had to hook out and do it herself. And she's able to storm home. The section was terrific, you know, off a fast speed. She's high class and a proper Group 1 horse.
Hartnell was unlucky?
Yeah, touch unlucky because the rail was off a bit, I think. It certainly wasn't the A ground, and he was there for a long time and got off there late. Through the line, he was strong. Obviously, doesn't have the upside of a few of these, and he's looking for further now, probably. But a typically honest, very good effort from a great soldier.
And I guess Cliff's Edge, disappointing?
Yeah, look, I risked him on Saturday. He led at a crawl first up. I know he made Mystic Journey work to beat him. So he was brave, but as soon as they're going these sort of speeds, he's found out. I mean, he was about 7 lengths below average last time. This time, 7 lengths above. You know, and you just, if you've got a sustained speed for a long period of time, you've got to be very good, as we well know. And when this speed was hot, he just couldn't go with them.
Yeah. Duff, what did you make out of the Memsies and probably the horses to stick with going forward to bigger prizes over the spring?
Yeah, look, early Group 1 in the season, the winner was beautifully ridden. He's a very talented horse, we know that. I don't know whether I want to jump on one and say, geez, I want to follow that horse, you know, right through now. So, yeah, a jury's out with me as far as what I want to follow out of that race. It was like Gator says, was a test, and probably the best and fastest horse won, Scales of Justice, and he's done a really good job to get back to where he was. You know, he's 2 from 3 this prep, and you could make a case of, you know, a little unlucky at the previous one.
And can you make a case, Glenn, if you got Sosie Bond running another, well, cracking race, what does it say about the others that finished around him?
Well, the thing about Sosie Bond's a different horse time in, and if he keeps running the same sort of races, well, at least that you can you use him as your benchmark as to the consistency of the form. And
who would have thought you'd say that?
Oh, well, you know, people that, you know, have you laying down on a Chesterfield couch and having a chat to someone.
Yes.
But, Gator, interesting you said that you thought the fence was off. There was conflicting reports and everything from Saturday. It looked as though the fence was off because a lot of leaders, like Baller Muscle and a couple of other horses, intentionally stayed off the fence. But few of the jockeys said probably more to do with the win. They thought the inside was all right.
Yeah, I agree. There was conflicting reports. It's certainly doing my form going forward. I'm adding merit to those that were hard on the inside. I think some of the senior riders declaring that there was certainly some wear and tear there. Given the rain during the week and heavy traffic load, it's not a surprise. So, you know, each to their own. But that's the way I'm looking at the form going forward. That if they made their run through on the inside, I'm either forgiving them or adding some merit to the performance.
How good is that that mare, My Pendant?
Look, she's quite good. I think there's probably a sort of stakes win in her. She got a lovely ride, didn't she, from
a
good young rider, Damien Oliver. She missed the kick and she was back. Now, he could have easily hooked out. And watching it live, I'm thinking, oh, look, he's forgotten to hook out here. What do I know? And he waited and got on the back of a few. What she did do was savage the line. And you can't build the sort of record she's building if you're no good again. Clearly, race fastest home, 34.5 and then 11.28. Overall time solid off a good speed. So, I think she can be stakes grade competitive without a doubt.
All right. And Gator, what about, what was the word coming out about Vega Magic, who was the big flop of the day?
We're going to see other people, Vega and I. We're moving on from each other. But in fairness to the horse on Saturday, he's pulled up with some heat in a tendon.
Right.
And he didn't look right in his action. You don't have to be any sort of... I mean, Ron, you're a better judge than me. Look, his action looked all over the shop, and he hasn't, apparently, hasn't pulled up since. Either way, way below what he's capable of. A Group 1 horse on his day, but he just can't be trusted anymore, unfortunately. And I don't think it's his fault. I think he's got some soundness issues.
Right.
Yeah, I think you explained it well.
Yeah, that's it. Probably should have won the first ever Everest, Ronnie.
Don't talk about it, will you?
Sorry, mate, I just thought I'd give you a little uppercut there.
What did Craig Williams come in and say to the slot holder that day? He came in and said, it'll win next start. He says, I don't own it next start.
And next start won't be a $14 million race.
Exactly.
Actually, I want to get back to that. There's a couple of text messages regarding Craig Williams, and they want Gator's opinion about how he's travelling at the moment. But we're approaching 9:30 on this edition of Punters Postmortem, which means it's sporting headlines time with Madison Clare.
Thanks, Terry. Well, the NRL has threatened to strip Manly of a home final after an ugly incident on the weekend. Todd Greenberg has told them to fix the security and fix it fast after a Seagulls fan lashed out at Melbourne's Bill Chambers. In other league news, though, the West Tigers will face Cronulla at Leichhardt Oval for the final spot in the top eight after thrashing the Dragons 42-14. While Paul Gallen's farewell at Shark Park ended in a heartbreak, 15-14 shootout that lost to the Raiders there. In tennis this morning, Ash Barty has been knocked out of the US Open. The Aussie world number two just couldn't find her rhythm this morning against China's Jiang Wang, knocked out in straight set 6-2, 6-4. While Roger Federer cruised into the last eight, no surprises there, thrashing David Goffin 6-2, 6-2, 6-love in just 78 minutes. This is Sky Sports Radio, your home to Sydney's upcoming Spring Carnival.
Oh, thank you very much. In fact, it's nearly upon us, you'd have to think, wouldn't you, the spring starting on the weekend. We thanks Madison there. We're going to take your calls next up on Punters Postmortem, 13 53 53. Any queries you've got from the runners for today, we'll keep you up to date with what's happening at the trials as well. A couple of very, very impressive gallopers going around. So calls on 13 53 53, SMSs on 0419 767 272 for the panel, Glenn Munsey, Ronnie Duffersey and David Gately.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art livable showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing worlds. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at australianturfclub.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio is proud to team up with Greyhounds New South Wales for the TAB Million Dollar Chase. Throughout September, there's heats and qualifying finals spread right around the state, counting down to the semis and grand final at Wentworth Park in October. The TAB's Million Dollar Chase is on Sky Sports Radio. The beat of a million drums. Saxon Warrior, unbeaten Group 1 winner at 2.
Saxon Warrior, Ryan is galvanising and through on the far side. It's history for Aiden O'Brien. Saxon Warrior won the racing post.
Brilliant 2,000 guineas winner at 3.
Now it's Saxon Warrior in front. Saxon Warrior has won by a length and a half.
One of the best and fastest sons of Deep Impact, out of an unbeaten European champion two-year-old. Saxon Warrior, new for 2019 at Coolmore.
You're listening to Sky Sports Radio and Punters Postmortem.
I'll get to this quickly for Tiger Marty. Morning, boys. Lots to be said for the backing jockeys in form. Tommy Berry flying at the moment, but would like Gator's opinion on that. I'll get rid of that word, on that Craig Williams at the moment. Riding poorly, but the ride on Sebricate was appalling, says Tiger Marty. Gator?
Yeah, look, wrong bloke to ask, in that I'm certainly not a jockey bagger. I think what often happens is we need an excuse. Like, it's great psychology, isn't it, when we get it wrong to blame someone else, because then we're never wrong. So it's great, and you're always on top. Look, with Craig rode Amphitrite really well on Saturday. It was an on-pace dominated race. The section was home terrific. He rode Hartnell, who was in behind them, I don't think in the A ground, but then hit the line hard. But 1400 was always going to be a bit sharp, wasn't it? The Sebricate one was a very interesting one. Look, I thought pre-race he was the one who was a stupid price. They went up $14 off his second at Bivouac and was happy to play him as a saver bet. He got in behind these leaders. Now, the leaders led into that headwind, didn't they? King of Hastings. You'd expect that horse to take you a long way. He was right in the market, King of Hastings, and well-supported. But he was just going better than him, Sebricate, and just blocked behind them. As simple as that. I'm not sure what else he could have done early in that race.
Okay.
The horse ran really well, arguably should have won the race. He's behind a $3.90 pop. He's held up. Sometimes that's just racing.
Okay. I hate that term. Sometimes. That means we're losing.
Yeah.
I hate that. Oh, that's just racing.
Andrew Bensley reporting Vega Magic. The owners are taking it back to Western Australia and a decision to be made there. Not clear at this stage whether he'll race on or be retired. So,
does he need help packing?
Yeah, that's right. That's on the advice of Gator. But this comes in too. Thanks for that, Glenn. Thanks, boys. Adrian from Vega Magic. Ollie said that he got on the wrong leg and refused to change, pulled up with heat and a tendon, but reports the next day were all good. He's on my watch and act list. He may have had enough. I know how he feels. Alan. Yeah, Alan, you're probably not alone there. Let's get to the open line. 13-53-53. Hello, Rob.
Interested to know, does anybody know anything about a horse called Nance Terror that the Moonee Valley people are bringing out to Australia for the Cox Plate?
No, I know nothing about him. Is it definitely coming?
And that's no. All I know. And I think it's a German horse, actually.
Okay.
He's been given an invitation, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And they help with the expenses, don't they?
Paying a lot on it.
Yeah, if you get the invitation, is Australian Bloodstock involved there?
Well, they got 3,000 in every race. So.
No, I think they're involved with it.
Mm. It's $11 fourth third pick in the Cox Plate.
There you go.
Yeah.
The Japanese horse is definitely coming, Liz Grisseau or something like that, and that's definitely been ticked off. I haven't heard if Dancer Terrier's they accepted the invitation, put it that way.
Yeah, but that's the plan. That's the plan, and I'm sure Australian Bloodstock's involved there with Dance Tierra. Anything
phone's
else, Rob?
Just gone off, so it's coming.
It's coming, is it?
It's coming.
It's coming. Ran behind a Nable recently.
Yeah.
Which
is pretty good form. Or it depends how far you ran.
Four horse race.
Depends how far you ran behind a Nable. Yeah, and Rob, have you got one other question?
Well, look, just a second part. We've heard no more on Darren Weir. Is anyone pursuing anything? Is he going to court? What's happening? You're not allowed to talk about it.
Oh, no. The police investigation, I think if you cast your mind back, and I'll get Gated to come in here, but you cast your mind back, that was a joint raid between stewards and police on the separate properties of Darren Weir. The stewards can move very, very quickly. They don't have the legal constraints that the police have, but as far as I'm aware of, Rob, the police investigation continues and they can take their time as they dot the I's and cross the T's if they move against Darren Weir. Is that how you see it, Gator?
Yeah, exactly that way. I mean, I certainly haven't pursued it with any interest given there's only 24 hours in each day. But I would imagine that's the case. You know, in what they need to do is they only get one crack, don't they, if they're going to make a case. So they have to get it right. But, look, I'll leave that to them and I'll do the form.
Yeah, Rob. Yeah. So as far as I know, Rob, police haven't dropped their investigation against Darren Weir. As I mentioned, it was a joint raid between the police and also the stewards. And the police just take a lot longer because their burden of proof is far greater than the stewards. So I imagine they're just getting their ducks in order before they lay charges, if any, I should say, against Darren Weir. So 13:53:53. The trials are running a little bit late out there at Canterbury.
There was a fire alarm. There was a fire alarm went off. The first couple of trials, the fire alarm was still going.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you to Jamie Lovett. Dancer Tira runs in the Caulfield Stakes and then into the Cox Plate.
There you go. So
they
are
involved. We haven't got listeners.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you to Jamie for that too. And did he give you a leg up for it as well?
He's just going through the other 2,937 they've got coming for the carnival.
And Gator, this comes in regarding the rail, whether it was on or off at Caulfield. And surely the wind dropped after about race six at Caulfield. The last couple of race leaders were hanging on.
Yeah, it was less of a factor as the day went on, but certainly was well and truly a factor more so early on, but still some so later. I think winds got up to 40-something kilometres an hour.
Wow.
So, you know, if you're going for a run or riding a bike or a racehorse, what wind does is take energy out of your what resources you've got. So, you know, and upwards of 30% of your energy is absorbed, from your human perspective. So it's got to have an impact as an athlete for a racehorse. Oh. But yeah, it did drop later in the day, noteworthy.
I can guarantee you, Ronnie and I wouldn't be doing the first two of those things.
You'd be the best windbreak out of all of us.
My old mate there, Night's Watch, in the last, didn't have much luck.
Right, he was, in my notes, I just wrote, he probably should have won. The winner's no slouch, but look, he had a lot of juice in his tank still with 100 to go. And by the time he was out, the race was over. He's run fifth, beaten 1.6, seventh quickest home, but just didn't get a crack at them.
I
think it's a sad tale. If you back him, I'd have every right to think I should have won.
All right. Yeah. Yep, no doubt. We'll get back to the open line. This fifth trial is the one we're interested in. Arcadia Queen steps out for Chris Waller. You've got Champagne Cuddles for Bjorn Baker. You've got Vera Dean there for James Cummings as well. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. It's probably about 10 minutes away, I think, considering what's happening with the fire alarm out there at Canterbury. Let's get back to the open line on 13:53:53. Hi, Sean.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks.
That's great. Well, I backed two on the weekend. One is New Zealand, Melody Bell, that won the big race over in, I think it was Ruakaka on Saturday.
Pretty good.
Is she coming over for Australia again, morning, do you know?
Not up to date with that. No, not up to date with that.
Yeah, I think Jamie Richards said the other day when Andrew asked him about Tiako Shark, he said, yeah, she definitely had that run in New Zealand and come over a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think the intention is, Sean, that Melody Bell will be coming. And what about Tiako Shark? We see Tiako Shark.
Well, he's here already.
This weekend, mate, in the tramway, don't we? The $200,000 tramway, Tiako Shark, over 1,400 metres. We've got the Concord with Pirata, Redzel, Sunlight, Nature Strip, Graf and Zoo Style. We've got the Group 2 Furious with Libertini. This was posed to us earlier on Breakfast Radio. If you were Tommy Berry and you had to choose between Libertini and Exceedance right now, Ronnie, what would you do?
Oh, geez, it'd be a hard one.
Right now?
Yeah, you'd have to go Libertini, although then you start looking at associations, and his association with Hawks may play a big part in if it got to the crunch there.
Yeah, I thought Libertini as well. What about you, Glenn?
Where you'd go?
If you had to make the choice right now.
Yeah, well, for a start, I don't think they're going to be clashing. The Coolmore.
No, one's a Colt, one's a filly. But
yeah,
you know, just
we're talking.
It's probably hypothetical.
Everest. Everest. We're talking. You know.
Hypothetical. I think you'll find Tommy would stick with Exceedance.
Mm. All right. Could be a bigger sling being a Colt. You think?
No, Tommy has a long memory and remembers where his bread was buttered for a very
with the
very
Hawks
long
team.
Time.
Yeah.
I remember Larry Cassidy had to. Well, he didn't have to. He got off Sunline to stick with Hire.
Yeah, how'd that go?
That's just sometimes your bread's buttered 12 months of the year being a stable jockey. And if it comes to the crunch, you got to show a little bit of loyalty.
That one hurt. Plus one bad ride, you're off.
Yeah. Did it was a particular person managing him at the time?
Yes,
and it hurt him as well.
Yes, exactly. Yes, right.
That would be you,
no
Ronnie.
Just like self interest. No.
Yeah, that would be Ronnie. Exceedance
is going on the track for this trial, TK.
Going on the track, thanks, mate. Exceedance, Glenn, has actually gone from $51 to $15 for the Everest.
Yes.
Wow.
That happens every week.
But that's savage.
Whatever wins firms, you know.
That's a firm, though.
But I think they got a firm because they get their money back.
Well, Libertini firmed again after firming after winning.
Yeah.
She was 51 into 26 into 11 or something. She's now a $9 chance.
Well, it's a free bet if they get
through,
a slot.
And that's through weight of money. She's now the third most popular runner in the Everest, Libertini, behind Sandra Annalene, who should have trialled by now at Cranbourne, and Classique Legend. So it's weight of money that made her firm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And as Ronnie said, you get a free kick. They don't pay up. They don't get the Everest. You get your money back.
Yeah. Is Wugok, Ronnie, the best wet tracker we've got? Currently, I think 6 wins out of 7 on a heavy track. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, we'll be 7 out of 8 now after Saturday.
Seven out of eight, yeah.
Yeah, so that's him. Yeah, he just eats it. And when he was that close, only one travelling there, he was always the winner there in the run.
And there was no looking for better going, right?
No.
Tommy was happy as just to stick to the fence and as close to the fence he could possibly get.
Yeah, no, he was always in control. It was very brave, that Western Australian horse, I tell you, come play with me. It's not easy on these heavy tracks when you're first up after 50 or 49 days. And, he's better than we thought.
What about Wolf?
Forgive.
Yeah. Well, I guess you've got to forgive everything, don't you?
Everything on the day was a heavy nine. You know, like some of these horses, especially the ones that have never been in it, that just lost their form. So Wolf is a classic case there.
Now, it said heavy nine officially. Some feedback from jockeys, heavy 12. It was just heavy, wasn't it?
It was heavy. It was heavy.
So as heavy as it gets.
It's a winter track that, you know, a lot of jockeys said it felt a lot worse because it didn't hold together that well.
That's right, just choppy.
On 13:53:53. We're talking about trying to make racing safer. I don't know how to make racing safer, and by the lack of calls on the matter, neither does anybody else. Scooter, it's an extremely good point. Now, Gator brought this up at the beginning of the program, and I think we are all for making racing safer, but how do you do it? And we haven't had any...
I'm sure there was a way we...
We haven't got one idea so far, and normally our listeners are pretty good.
No, it's...
You're a jockey, Ronnie. I mean, you know the dangers of it.
If there's anything I want looked at, it'd be just have another look at this vest and see if it's the ideal product.
Yeah, there's debate about the vest, isn't there?
Well, when I was riding it, the first, we would twice a week, we'd have to go to apprentice school, and all we'd do is gymnastics, learning to roll. And if I fell, you'd roll up into a ball. And if you rolled after you fall, you say, no, he'll be all right. It's just when you come down with a thud, and I'm wondering whether these vests are...
They can roll? Yeah.
Whether they can roll with these
vests.
What
if you've got a horse stepping on you
Maybe the vest should just come to the bottom of the ribs and, to your heart. I'm just looking at things.
No, I understand.
I might be looking at nothing, but does it need revisiting?
Yeah,
interesting comment in an article I read regarding, you know, the female and the male situation there, that old Paddy Payne said boy riders hit and roll like boiled eggs and females hit and land like fried eggs. About to jump here in this trial at Canterbury.
Okay, we might go to the trial if that's possible. In fact, I've probably got Jono who's swapped over, so I've put a lot of pressure on the poor bugger here to try and find the trial. If possible, Jono, you give me a thumbs up. If not, I'll just keep taking calls. That's all right. I'm 13.
She's racing keenly second last anyway, Acadia Queen.
Looks like Hugh Bowman on board.
It does look like him, yeah. So he's trying to restrain her, but she's very keen this morning.
We've got it here, so we might go to the barrier trial, which is Acadia Queen out the back currently coming last.
Ivan up as well, ready to profit, just in front from Champagne Cuddles, and won it by a half head. Ready to profit from Champagne Cuddles. Arcadia Queen found the line well in third. Then Wonder Bay from Military Zone. Then came Viridine.
I think you've probably described that as exactly what you'd like to see from Arcadia Queen, Ronnie.
Yeah, trot and canter trial. And then they sprinted, and I love what she did. I don't know whether... 1200 is going to be too short for her, but she'll be given every opportunity to be nice and fresh to come Everest Day. Yui sort of asked her to do something there at the 100. She really stretched, and then he just sat there. And I'm tipping the last 200 sectionals of that trial will be pretty quick.
Glenn, you happy with that?
Yeah, well, when you have a look at, you know, her and Viridine came to the sort of turn together. Acadia Quinn was just under a little bit more pressure than Viridine, but he put two lengths on it the last 50 metres. Kieran was very, very quiet on Viridine, but she, you know, she found the line all right there. And, well, you'd be happy with what she did.
Yeah,
considering
you'd be.
What her, and what her record is, and she's evidently settled in well over here.
Well,
and,
Gator, were you able to keep an eye on that barrier trial?
Only had your audio there, mate,
right.
Unfortunately.
But, yeah, no. Yes, I mean, no, I'm Chris Waller would be more than happy. You'd have to think more than happy with that. And then going around to the next one is trekking the Stradbroke winner with Enticing Star. So we might keep an eye on that. But as we mentioned, they're running a little bit late there. Hi, boys. The Williams team runners with Liam Howley. Who do we watch for over the spring? Internationals, etc. Loved Melbourne on the weekend. It's class time of the year. Cheers, Macca. That comes in. What about those rumours, Gator, that were going around that Lloyd was thinking about giving everything away?
I didn't hear that, but I don't go looking for those sort of rumours either.
Well, that the farm might have been for sale or...
Yeah, no idea. Yeah. But I know his horses aren't firing at the minute. I mean, Exemplar was beaten by another Coldie on Saturday. I mean, with respect, that's Coleraine Cup form, not Caulfield Cup form. So I don't think they're flying, but they generally aren't this time of year, are they? And they'll start to get busy in the next few weeks. But a tough stable to read from a punting perspective, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah, the cups are just so hard now. As far as early early thoughts, you know, you look through the market and you hardly know a horse. It's one of them. When they land, start doing the form.
Yeah, I mean, once they get here and then we hear all the stuff coming out of Werribee as well, makes it even a little bit harder. But David Hayes has bought into the Melbourne Cup favourite, Glenn.
That's Constantinople.
Yep.
And they're UK three-year-olds. And we've seen over the last couple of years here, the UK three-year-olds that land here, how well they have run. So it's interesting that when he did go into that, it did firm up. It's $15 equal favourite with Cross Counter, Marmello and Mustajir in the Melbourne Cup now, Constantinople.
Gator, when you think about that, is Greg Carpenter, when he's going to re-weight the Northern Hemisphere three-year-olds coming down for the Cups, has he decided whether they get an extra half kilo or kilo?
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
There was even a tweet this morning saying that they've certainly had a serious look at this over the last couple of years, obviously with the last two Cup winners, and this horse fits that profile exactly. So I think you'll see it'll get a bit extra. I think that's a given, mate.
I went for the profile last year. I just got the wrong one, Ronnie.
Tell me about it.
I mean, I knew about the profile. I just picked the wrong horse. And of course, and what's an extra kilo? How big a difference do you think that? Who's the weights and measures man here, Gator?
Well, if you can tell me the power to weight ratio of each athlete, then I can tell you the answer to that. But they're all different.
They're all different.
So a kilo might affect, bananas a lot more than it affects a Scales of Justice. That's as simple as that.
Yeah. So I guess he had to do something, Greg Carpenter. I guess we'll keep our ear to the ground as far as those changes coming up. But I'm pretty sure there will be changes. Let's get to Kurt, who joins us on the open line on 1353 53. Hi, Kurt.
Morning, Terry, Dave, Ronnie, Munns. How are you all, boys?
G'day, Kurt.
Kurtie.
Yeah, and thank God they got the quarantine correct, Dave, mate, because Lee Scrisher is coming, buddy.
Good to hear. Yeah, and I'll keep an eye on him when he lands as well. Have you got
him? 4-year-old mare, Dave.
Yeah, wrong sex. Yeah, hear him a lot.
There's a lot of races to be done, the form to be done before we get to the Cups.
Yeah, but that could have very easily not been able to come, Terry, if these quarantine laws weren't cleared up. So,
sure.
Mr. Carpenter down there, well done for that. Hey, Ronnie.
Yes, Kurt.
You've got to do us a favour, mate, because
I've
sort of dropped a hint to the boys there when we go to the stables. We go after the races there in Precy and, revise how the day was. I haven't let the name out, Ronnie, but I've said, boys, We'll have a surprise here soon. We'll have a surprise. Now, I've teased them, Ronnie, so one day, Ronnie, please turn up.
I'll be there, Kurt. I've actually
Ronnie, if you turn up, I'll get on my knees and do the "We're not worthy, we're not worthy."
Well, I'm a bit worried about going now, but I have booked in there. I'm not telling you the date, but I'll let you know when I've been there. But I've organised.
Well, Ronnie, well done. Great minds think alike. I was going to say, I want a surprise.
They tell me,
Ronnie. You've got a sponsor to be going there. No,
yes.
It's hard.
Tommy Singer owns the joint.
Does he?
I think so. Someone told me Singo owns the joint.
Oh, well, I don't know that. I know he owns the Bellevue in Hargrave Street. I've drank there heaps of times.
But I might be wrong, but someone told me.
Well, you found yourself a sponsor.
That's what I was thinking. Ronnie, I'm not stupid.
I didn't know Beans was back in work.
Ronnie, I hope I'm not asking for too much, but if you can bring Maxi Presnell with you. He is my favourite scribe of all time, besides Les Carline, rest in peace.
Well, if
you can bring Maxi with you, Ronnie,
What, are you living there? Are you
there? No, we go after every Randwick meeting on a Saturday. You can't go before, Ronnie, because it opens at midday on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I don't go out Saturday
nights. You don't go before midday, do you?
You don't go out on Saturdays?
No, I got to work Sundays. You know, it's
what?
Hard. Yeah, I don't go out Saturdays, good. I go out during the week.
Well, he goes out Sunday lunch.
Sunday's good.
All right. Well, just surprise us one day.
I'll let you know. I'll give you the report card when I do it, but it's a few weeks off.
Have you got one query for anybody, Kurt?
Yes, Ronnie. This weekend was a defining moment for me, mate. I've picked my golden eagle horse, mate. I just need it. You know I love this horse, Ronnie. You know I love it. Advantage.
Yeah.
Four-year-old mare. She was first up there in a 400 open there. In Ruakaka on the weekend, he was better than just the normal open in respects to their opens down there. It should have won. It missed a kick, and it should have won. It just lost. I've got 51-1 on this in the Golden Eagle, Ronnie. We're talking about a horse that came 1.7 lengths third, and I remember I was there on the day to Classic Legend at Randwick, Ronnie. You remember that day on a soft track?
Yeah.
I mean...
What's it called again?
Avantage.
Avantage.
The Kiwi.
David Ellis, S. Richards Yard.
Yeah, it's $51. Yeah.
Yeah, geez, it's going to be a race, that Golden Eagle, Kurt. You know, you've got a Doncaster winner there. You've got this brilliant mare.
Have a look at her profile, Ronnie. I mean, this horse is getting under every... It's one of those that if it wins, people are just going to go, well, look at its form, you know.
I'll keep an eye on it.
It's a surprise.
I'm not going to knock anyone tipping a 50-1 chance. And so... I'll keep an eye on him. But that Golden Eagle.
One last one, Ronnie.
Yes, Kurt.
I was in a cab during the week, and the cab driver had Ray Hadley on. This is no word of a lie. He was having a three-way with the bloke you brought up before, Singo and Jerry Harvey, and they just were talking about everything. And then Ray started talking about Libertini.
Yep.
Ronnie, I don't know if you know about this, but if Jerry mentioned, and you know he's not a bullshitter. Jerry mentioned he's got a colt that's just been born, a brother to Libertini, full brother, he's got a half sister to Libertini, 2-year-old filly by Sebring, and another full sister to Libertini.
Wow, that's fantastic. Not going to be short of it, and they would be big, big money at the sales if it was for sale. But here's this heat that's just kicked underway out there at Canterbury Park, featuring Enticing Star and the Stradbroke winner in Trekking. Let's go live. Sorry, Kurt.
From Vetter moving up on the outside. Then came Bold and Wild from Trekking. Enticing Stars holding the fence, pushing forward from Duro Rain and re at its last of a bunch field. On the turn, Vivi Valentina at the 400, ahead in front of Vetter. Enticing Star creeping up on the inside, getting a rails run now. And Trekking is pulling to the outside, so they stretch across the track. Vetter pushed on. Enticing Stars going through on the inside, given a bit more rain now by McDonald. And Vivi Valentina's trying to go with it. But Enticing Star does the job well, and Enticing Star is going to win it. Trekking down the outside in a photo for second with Vivi Valentina. Then came Vetter once again.
Ronnie, nice trials by the two horses we were keeping an eye on there. Enticing Star getting up on the inside with J-Mac aboard, and then Trekking was a beautiful little barrier trial down the outside.
Yeah, Trekking was trucking, wasn't he?
Trekking was trucking, wasn't he?
Yeah, and my old girl there, I hope Chris puts her in a suitable race there shortly, re-edit. She'll be winning But yeah, that's good. She might have just got on the wrong leg there, enticing yeah. Star. He pulled the whip through, and then she balanced up and did it nicely. So yeah, I think Bob, Chris, and everyone will be happy with the two mares.
Yeah, Gator, it's amazing. We're so used to seeing those colours when we're watching the races come in from Perth, and now we're going to be watching those colours with great intent with these big races coming up, heading to the Everest.
String to the another point of interest, hasn't it, for the spring? Yeah. These high-class girls coming over. So, oh, look, I'm super excited to see them in the next week or two.
Yeah, it's fantastic. They're now with Chris Waller here yeah. as well. Time to get your horses to follow, if possible. Ronnie, have you got one for us?
Oh, I've got to be Captain Obvious, quick thinker. I just think there's all upside with him.
Yep, that was that outstanding three-year-old colt we saw for Murray Baker. Handled those conditions. I think blew in the market as well. So heading to the Champions Stakes and then obviously maybe the Derby.
That sounds like the plan.
That sounds like a pretty good plan. Glenn, you got one to follow?
Once again, when it goes back to the bush in a Class 1, who shout out of the highway on Saturday, especially if it strikes a rain-affected track. And just quickly, TK, we've yep. heard a lot about jockeys and everything.
Yep.
There's a national jockeys and a golf day for Noel Miller. Now, Noel was a jockey and retired and actually moved to Kempsey. And the trainers will all tell you he was a genius track work rider,
yep.
had a fall. He's now a paraplegic, but there's a special golf day for him at Port Macquarie on the 9th of October, 12 p.m. shotgun start there. And if you'd like to ring Graham Flight on 0421 818 667 or the pro shop at the Port Macquarie Golf Club. So okay. a special golf day there for Noel on the 9th of October. And the Michael Hackett fundraiser, original reports were $42,000.
Yep.
Benny Smith told me this morning it will get closer to $50,000 that was
terrific.
Raised on Saturday night for Michael Hackett. And a magnificent gesture by Michael. He actually donated $3,000 back. To the Central West Fund out there. So magnificent gesture from
that is good,
Michael Hackett.
Well done to everybody involved in raising that money as well. Close enough to $50,000 for Michael Hackett. That was had that terrible fall at the Tamingley races. Just before we go, Gator, you got one to follow?
Yeah, I thought Super Titus's win on Saturday was outstanding off a wide run. Faced that breeze early. Knights watch difficult to miss. And be good to your mother, I'm sold now. Back to a handicap. He led at that fierce speed we touched on, probably in the worst part of the track, and was only beaten less than 3 lengths of weight for age. So I think he's the real deal. Be good to your mother.
All right, good on you, Gator. Great to chat.
Thanks, Pete.
David Gately there. Ronnie, thank you, mate.
See you, guys.
Glenn?
Yeah, Santa Ana Lane, third in his trial at Cranbourne.
Third in the trial at Cranbourne. Then a big week of racing coming up. We've got the Group 3 Concord with the likes of Piorata, Redzel, Sunlight, Nature Strip, Graf and Sue Style. We've got the Group 2 Furious with Libertini. We've got the $200,000 Tramway with Tiako Shark over 1,400 metres. Then the Chelmsford Stakes with the giant killer, Samadou, back in action as well. We look forward to all of that. Thanks to our callers, our text messages. Thanks to our panel. That's Punters Postmortem for this Monday morning. It's 2 minutes after 10 o'clock, which means it's news and sporting headlines time with Madison.